been in the ninth commandment for a little while. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And as we have done with each of the commandments, we begin by looking at what is prohibited, what is condemned in the commandment. And of course, you have what's on the surface, the very obvious. But as in each commandment, there's much more to it than what is just on the surface. And as you look at the commandments this way, you see that we're all guilty. We break each and every one of the commandments. We have broken them, and we still break the commandments if you really, truly look at them. So we showed what false witness bearing is. We see it's a sin that is against an individual, against thy neighbor. We've seen who our neighbor is, who it's basically mankind in general. We see different ways in which we can be guilty of false witness bearing. Slander, of course, is the most obvious, and we spent a little bit of time looking at slander, looking at the many ways in which we can be guilty of slander, and some are not as obvious as others. We can be guilty of slander intentionally, and we can be guilty of slander unintentionally. So we can bear false witness. It's something we can do intentionally. It's something we can do unintentionally. But whether it's done intentionally or unintentionally, it's still there. False witness bearing. See, another way in which we bear false witness was false accusations. You make an accusation that has no bearing in fact. And then last week we began to look at some things that might lead to false witness bearing, which I believe would also be prohibited in the command. So think of some things that make us prone to bearing false witness. One, of course, is anger. We looked at that last week. When we allow anger to take up residence in our hearts, we are probably going to also be guilty of false witness bearing against the person that we're angry with, whether it be through exaggeration or whatever. So anger, bitterness, of course, when we allow anger to take up residence in our hearts, soon to follow will be bitterness. And we saw last week that it's called the root of bitterness in Hebrews 12, verse 15. It's a sin that feeds other sins, has a root. It's underground, it's unseen, it's hidden, but it's there. Bitterness never, never, never stands by itself. It's a root that feeds other sins. And when one becomes bitter, they are well on the road to bearing false witness against whoever it is that they're bitter against. And it goes on to say there in Hebrews 12, any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. So bitterness is something that is troubling. That is, it'll disturb you. It will, it'll disrupt. It'll bother. It'll hassle. It'll kill you. It really will. It'll just eat you away. Bitterness. So certainly we have anger. We have bitterness. So those are two of the things that will lead to false witness bearing somewhere down the road. What we want to look at today is another thing that would lead to false witness bearing, would be envy. jealousy. What is envy? Well, it's the desire for the status, the abilities, the situations of others. But it's more than that. It's such a desire that it actually results in inward pain, resentment. Where there's resentment, there's anger. And we need to stop and ask ourselves, really, who are you angry at? Is it the person that has what you don't have? Well, in reality, it's God. So there's resentment, hostility, ill will. Where there's envy, there's ill will. There's malice. The Bible warns us against envy. The reason the Bible warns us against envy is because of our sinful flesh. Because it's something we do. We all have experienced envy. And more likely than not, we will experience it again as well. But the Bible warns against it. In Psalm 37, Psalm 37, very familiar verse, Psalm 37, verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Be not thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Most saved people would say, "Well, I'm not guilty of being jealous of some lost sinner." Well, I think perhaps you need to examine that a little further. And because we've all been there, being envious of the wicked, desirous of what they have. Someone will say something along the lines of, well, I could have what they have, but I serve the Lord. What are you saying? I believe there, if you really examine that thought process, there's envy there. So notice also in Proverbs chapter 23, Proverbs 23, verse 17, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but," so here's the cure, here's the remedy, "be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." Keep your eyes on God. Trust the Lord. Reverence the Lord. That's the cure for envy. Someone, the Lord blesses someone with, in a way that he doesn't bless you, you ought to thank God. You ought to thank God. God knows what he's doing. He knows who to give to. He knows who to withhold from. And a lot of times we look at what we think they have as a blessing, and it's it's not a blessing, it's a curse. So we do not always look at situations accurately. Galatians 5 verse 26 says, "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Now here he's talking to the saved amongst themselves, envying one another. Because again, envy, like bitterness, does not stand alone. There are other sins that are going to follow. In James chapter 3, James chapter 3, in verse 14, "But if ye have," speaking to the saved, "if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts. Where there's one, there's the other. Where there's envy, there's strife. Glory not, and lie not against the truth. Then he goes on to say, this wisdom. What wisdom? The wisdom that would allow you to envy and have strife in your hearts. This wisdom descendeth not from above. This doesn't come from God. This doesn't come from heaven. But then he describes it, this wisdom that would produce envy and strife. It's earthly. What does that mean? It means it's of the spirit of the world. It follows the same spirit of the world. When we become envious of another, we are following the spirit of the world. What is the spirit of the world? The spirit of the world is Antichrist. So it's pretty serious. And he goes on to say it's sensual. What does that mean? It means it's natural. It's what we do naturally. It's part of our sinful nature to envy. But then even worse, it says it's devilish. And what does that mean? It means it's demonic. It's not of God. It's of Satan. It's demonic. So envy, though it is very common, a very serious problem. Because it is of the spirit of the world. And because it is a product of sinful nature. And it is even demonic. Envy is something that can cause decay. Decays a lot of things. It certainly decays spirituality. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. That is, it's healthy. It's healthy. But envy, the rottenness of the bones. You have a disease that is actually bringing about the decay of your bones. You have a problem. More than likely, you're going to seek a solution to your problem. But that's what envy is. It's like the rottenness of the bones. It decays. It's not something you can hold on to without it having an effect upon your life. It brings about decay. It also brings about cruelty. Song of Solomon, chapter 8. And verse 6, it says there in about the halfway down that jealousy is cruel as the grave. It results in cruelty. And one of the acts of cruelty that it results in is false witness bearing. Again, whether it be by telling our side of the story, which may not be accurate, exaggerating the facts, it's cruel. It's also the fountainhead of confusion and evil. Again, go back to James chapter 3 and verse 16. He continues his thought. He's told us this wisdom that produces envy doesn't come from heaven, but it's natural. It's of the spirit of the world. It's natural. It's devilish. And then he goes on. He says, where envying and strife is. So he's come back to what he said in verse 14. If ye have bitterness and envy, if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts. So in verse 16, he comes back to that. For where envying and strife is, there is. Now it doesn't say where envying and strife is, there will be there may be, it says there is. Wherever there is envy, there is confusion, chaos. Envy produces chaos. And every evil work. So once again, it's not a sin that stands by itself. So someone can say, they can admit, I have a problem with jealousy with such and such a person. That may be very true, but that's not your only problem. Because if you have the problem of envying, there's a lot of other problems that you have as well, because it doesn't stand alone. We see it's the fruit of carnality. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul makes a statement. He says, he's talking to the church of Corinth, and he says, ye are yet carnal. Now, that's quite a statement. He just comes out and says, you're living fleshly lives. But he doesn't just make a blanket statement and leave it alone. He says, for whereas, this is how I know you are carnal. Now today, you say, you are carnal. Well, you're judging me. Well, you can make a statement like that if there is evidence of it. And here we see there was evidence. What is the evidence of carnality? For where is there is among you envying. So if we have envy in our hearts, we're carnal. Isn't that what we just read in James? It's of the spirit of the world. It's of the flesh. It's devilish. That's carnal. So where there is, if there is among you envy, you're carnal. And then getting back to James, we see envy and strife in your hearts, and Paul mentions it here. Among you, envy and strife. Where there's envy, there's strife. And where there's strife, there's divisions. And he goes on to mention that. Among you, envy, strife, and divisions. And then he tries to reason with them. He says, are ye not carnal? He makes the statement, ye are carnal. Then he gives some evidence, and then he just asks, are ye not carnal? Are ye not carnal and walk as men? That's what carnality is. It is to walk in the flesh. It is to walk as the natural man walks. So this carnality, we see envy is the fruit of carnality, and this carnality produces strife, divisions. It produces railings and surmisings and hatefulness. Notice, and that's brought out there in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 3, but also notice 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4. He is proud. He's talking about those who teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions. That is, he's infatuated with questions and strifes of words. And then notice what he says, whereof cometh envy, and there it is again, strife, railings, evil surmisings, and we've already showed how evil surmisings lead to false witness bearings. That is, we begin to think, this is what's going on in that person's life, this is what I think they're thinking, and just, you know, on and on we go. And then we share that with somebody else, now we're a false witness bearer. So where there's envy, there's strife, there's evil surmisings. These things just feed one another. Titus 3, verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy. Malice and envy. Notice what's connected with envy. Hateful and hating one another. Envy is very, very serious. In closing, Joseph's brothers, because of envy, could not speak amiably to Joseph. Notice what Genesis 37 and verse 4 says. Genesis 37 and verse 4. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. They were envious. Their envy resulted in hate. And could not. Doesn't say they wouldn't. It just says they could not. Because of their condition of envy and hate, they could not speak peaceably unto him. Couldn't do it. So, when you cannot speak peaceably to an individual, once again, human nature, you're not going to keep that to yourself. You're going to share it with somebody. And if it's not fact, you're a false witness bearer. So, I believe the command prohibits that which would lead to false witness bearing. Anger, bitterness, envy. Another thing, we're going to close, but another thing, we'll look at it next week, which is really the root of all of these that we've mentioned thus far, is pride. I mean, pride feeds all these others. And it is the chief reason for false witness bearing, pride. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for each one that you've brought safely here, that you've seen through the day. And we just pray that you'd be with those who are still on the way, that you would watch over them. We do thank you, Lord, for your commandments. We realize that they are a fence around our lives, and not to make our lives miserable, but to make our lives happy and enjoyable. And we thank you, Lord, for putting boundaries around our life, and we just pray that you would cause us to always recognize your boundaries as a good thing, as part of your goodness to us. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to stay within the boundaries that you've set for our lives, because we know, Lord, that in doing so, we will be much happier and much more useful in your service. We do pray that you'd meet with us today in a special way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.